Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine, a viable alternative to paying your license fee in order to listen to partially drunk members of the public arguing with Chris Sutton. I'm Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Delaney.
That's what I've just been listening to on the radio just before we've recorded this.
Is that Five Live?
Five Live, 6:06, some fucking half-pissed Spurs fan ringing up and arguing with Chris Sutton. And I thought, is this what we've come to?
My wife used to call that show I'd Just Like to Say. Because when I used to listen to it, I mean, now obviously I'm pure talk sport.
Yeah,
but
of course.
Back in the day when I used to listen to it, she'd just hear me listening to a show. She'd go, are you listening to that I'd Just Like to Say show again? I mean, like, that's not what it's good. She went, well, it should be. All you fucking hear is people read that go, I'd just like to say. But what they say, you know, Andy, Sam, I'm a Spurs fan for my sins.
Yeah.
Great show. Love the show. Anyway, I'd just like to say.
and then they go on and say the show thing. That's something that's bled into Adrian Durham and you know, his Drive Time show. That they're not allowed to speak until they've said great show, love the show. I think we need to get people on the line to
I like that. Adrian's attitude on that sort of thing. I think it's sort of, you know, you should never respect your listeners too much.
No.
A lot of shows, you hear them, podcasts, radio shows alike, you hear them kind of trying to smarm up to their listeners and thank them. And so show gratitude to them. Yeah. And say, we're listening to you. You make this show. This show is nothing without you, the listeners. Mm. And I've always been a big believer in that being a load of shit. The show, this show, for instance... Mm-hmm. Top Flight Time Machine is what it is because of you and me, Andy, and no one else.
I mean, because we've increasingly started to, you know, introduce, you know, input from the listeners in the form of bullshit and sexual failures and things like that.
But us doing them a favour. That's not them doing anything for us.
We're telling them what to say, and at the same time, we're only using the very best of the ones they send in. We're only using about 3% of the ones we get sent in.
Most
the other 90%
of them are dog shit.
Yeah. And I've blocked some of the submitters on Twitter because they're wasting my time, your time, and their own time.
You're a busy man. You haven't got time to wade through their crap. That's the difference between them, the cunters, and us. Yeah. Is that, like... We know the difference. We've got a filter in our brains. It's inbuilt. I don't know whether it's learnt or whether it's innate. But
I think it's innate.
But we can filter our own content and we can filter their content for them.
We can.
If you are lucky enough to be one of the cunters who gets one of your stories or texts or tweets on air, then you should be grateful to us. We don't. Mm. We're finding room in an otherwise packed show for a piece of your content.
And if you haven't,
you should pay us. In a way, you should pay us.
Well, I've suggested that a long time ago.
That's a good way of monetizing the show. If you want one of your things on the show, pay us.
Yeah. And if you have submitted something that hasn't been read out, first of all, you need to go away and have a long think about what you've done. Secondly, you should probably start your own podcast up, read it out on that, record it, get a URL link to it, print that out on a piece of paper, and then shove it up your ass.
Yeah.
Because we're not interested.
We're not interested in listening. And also, one other idea, if you've sent us any content and it hasn't made the cut in the show, we want you to pay us as well for that.
Yeah.
Because we've still spent time looking at it.
Yeah. And we'll invoice everyone.
We're busy and important men. We haven't got time to read bullshit.
Yeah.
So that's that cleared up. Cunters, we may be doing badges for you soon. And there's also, I mean, 2019, there's so much, there is so much exciting news and so much to look forward to if you are a part of the Top Flight Time Machine Cunter community. Mm. Last year was a big success for us. We launched it. I won't lie, I'm not going to be one of these people who said, oh, we launched it and we didn't know if it was going to be popular. Mm. We didn't know whether people would tune in. We launched it knowing full well that it would become one of the best and most popular podcasts out there. And so that proved to be.
There's none of that thing where people say, well, we do it for ourselves, and if anyone else likes it, it's a bonus. We planned this strategically. We launched it, I think, in March. It was a soft launch, but we knew that by January 2019, it would be massive, and that the threshold of quality in each episode would be just off the map.
And we're not doing it. And we're not doing it for us. We do it for ourselves. If people like it, it's a bonus. No, we're doing it for money. Yeah. We're doing it because we want to build an audience of cunters that's big enough for us to monetize with major advertisers, major sponsors, merchandise, events, consultations, TED Talks, corporate consultation.
Fucking hell, yeah.
Andy and I are also available for security services, big or small. So if you're having a do and you just want us to work the door, we'll do that. But if you want us to come in to a big organisation and advise you in a broader strategic sense about how you could make yourself less of a target for terrorism, we're also available for that too.
Absolutely.
Just remember, our calling card in that era of our work is that I am the man who predicted 9/11.
Yeah, exactly. And there's plenty more to come from where that came from. But you're obviously playing it close to your chest. I should refer to a tweet we got yesterday at this point from someone called Fraz on the Twitter. And he said, pleasantly surprised. Listened to a pod that entertained me that hadn't sold out to mid-sentence adverts, TF Time Machine.
Oh,
well,
shit.
Fraz, enjoy it while it lasts, because we're aiming to monetize the fuck out of this. And we'll probably have sponsor reads and adverts every, 3 minutes by the end of this year.
My question is, why don't we right now? I mean, as I understand, the last update you gave me on the data for this show, you said that each episode was being listened to by the equivalent of the whole population of Portugal. I mean, they're not all Portuguese, obviously. I assume a large number of them are. But you said it was the population of Portugal, the equivalent of population of Portugal, was downloading and listening to every episode.
Yeah.
So if you go to an advertiser right now and say, we can get into the ears and minds of the whole of Portugal, any advertiser worth their salt will be falling over themselves to pay you.
Yeah, true.
So what's going on with our people?
I'm not sure. I think there's been some kind of technical error because Fraz, this podcast is meant to be littered with adverts. You've obviously got lucky and listened to it on a day when the system's gone down or something. Mm. Because, fuck me, we'll advertise anything, won't we, Sam?
Anything.
Any product,
even
service.
like that football club who did North Korean tourism, that's something we've been trying to work our way into.
People should listen out, because shortly we'll be running adverts for a discreet Viagra delivery service. That's
great.
Coming up soon, and we'll bombard you with that until you can't take any more and you just submit to it.
Yeah. Just get the Viagra in. Although, why on earth you would want it to be a discreet delivery, I don't know.
Be proud.
I wouldn't care. It would show that I'm at least having sex, or I'm hopeful of doing so.
Or just attempting to,
Yeah. Unless you took a Viagra.
You want to feel something.
Unless you did a Viagra just for, one off the wrist. That would be pretty mental, wouldn't
it? That'd be a good podcast episode, wouldn't it? Like a TED Talk. Live Viagra sampling.
Yeah, what happens when you take Viagra just for your own pleasure?
We'd have to do one of those episodes where we're remote in different locations, though, wouldn't we? And point our webcams discreetly. So not me.
I'd come on to stage at a big conference hall in San Francisco in, the Tech Valley, Silicon Valley. I'd be naked, but for a Bluetooth headset.
Okay.
Which is what, the Madonna Blonde Ambition type microphone.
Yeah.
Because that's what all the best TED talkers speak through.
Yeah.
And I'd come on, flaccid. Then I would take the pill during the talk, 5 minutes into the talk, and then people would see me gradually become
Erect.
Yeah. Yep. Erect. Yeah. Let's just say it because that's what it is. That's the word.
It's the skirt around it.
That's the elephant in the room. Is erection.
It's up now.
And
its trunk is now visible.
And then my audience would see where it went from then. Jeff Bezos. I'd be like, oh, I see Jeff Bezos is here. World's richest man. I see Bill Gates is here. Yeah. And John Uber, inventor of Uber. The whole
back
gang
in
1862. Are here. Yeah. When it was just a horse and cart service back then.
Yeah.
But he already was thinking big.
You used to get it by pigeon.
Yeah.
Send a pigeon out to Uber HQ and they send out a horse and cart.
Sometimes as quickly as a week later, some bloke. Yeah, Abdul is here in your horse and cart. Meet him outside by the corpses.
He'll only wait for 2 minutes, then he'll fuck off. Get a move on.
Would have been a great episode of Dick Turpin, that.
Yeah, so there we are. That's what you can all look forward to in the next few months here at Top Flight Time Machine HQ. Mm. And it is very much in HQ, and it's only going to get bigger.
This is it!
Shall we quickly look at the prediction league? Because it's the end of the weekend.
Oh, I'd love to, yes.
Mm. Have you been working these out in your mind?
I've been doing a few calculations. I don't know exactly where I stand, but...
Well, you don't know exactly. Well, I've had the worst weekend yet again of the three of us. Just 3 points for myself. Results bot managed to cobble together 5 points.
Oh.
I mean, you both predicted 1-0 West Ham versus Arsenal, so
yeah,
you both
so that
struck lucky
it
with that
out.
One.
Yeah.
That's what's done it for you. Sam, you got 6 points this weekend.
Oh my God, I've gone
yes,
top.
Yes, it's true. You are now top of the Top Flight Time Machine Prediction League.
Oh God. This
How
is amazing.
Feel?
Powerful.
Powerful, yeah.
And all those feelings that have plagued me so many times in my life before, I'll be honest, they're bubbling back to the top.
Uh-oh.
This has gone to my head. You've told me not 10 seconds ago.
Mm.
And I'm really thinking mad thoughts now that I'm going to start my own podcast. Fuck you and Results Bot.
Yeah.
The podcast is going to be called Insights with Sam Delaney, where I offer... You have to pay to download it. And
global
I offer...
Global Insights.
Global Insights. And I just give... I predict things not just in football, but in the business arena too. So market insights, effectively. And I also can do geopolitical forecasting about events in the Middle East.
Well, exactly. You hark back to your 9/11 prediction. You can bring that back into play again. There'll
but
be more
turret I'm going to advertise this in The Economist, in Time magazine, in Newsweek, the sort of thing that
Time's
big hitters
review.
Read. Yeah, the big hitters. And I will get big captains of industry and government departments all over the world to subscribe for big bucks, because I have proved that total predicting my method, which I announced back in November, works. It just simply works, and it's now available for hire.
So as I say, you're 1 point clear at the top, and it's
I'm,
triggered
I'm
this
Googling,
mayhem.
I'm buying a Rolex watch because people don't take you seriously. I mean, I've been wearing this Casio for years, and I think that now that I'm top, I need a real big fuck off watch, like a real
fat watch,
a real prick's watch. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sort of watch you walk into a bar, you hold your hand up to catch the attention of the barman, and everyone sees this big watch and they think, what a fucking prick, I bet his penis is tiny. That's the kind
of
watch
one
of I
them.
Want. Yeah.
And you're probably not feeling any need for Viagra as well either at this point in time.
No, I'm fully erect.
Imagine. Again, another benefit of us not being
I
in the same room together right now.
I actually have been ever since I left the London Stadium yesterday afternoon, which was awkward on the train on the way home.
Yeah, but I bet
you're
the only one.
Where I bumped into various people. Huh? No, there was erections everywhere.
I bet there's been a steady trade in Declan Rice pornography since yesterday lunchtime, has there?
Oh, yeah, especially as Declan Rice. Not only did he score the winner, he then, just as you thought you couldn't be more excited, he posted a video of himself in a pub with a load of West Ham fans last night after the game, celebrating.
Proper.
Yeah.
Good
and
lad.
That is, just as you're thinking, this couldn't get any better, your new hero, a man who is following in the footsteps of the likes of Bobby Moore and Rio Ferdinand as one of the real greats from the academy, is down the boozer, having what is known as a knees up, Andy.
A cockney knees up.
He was having a cockney knees up.
Was Dave from Chas and Dave there? Playing along?
Yeah. No, he's a Spurs fan. He wouldn't
Is
have been
he?
There. Yeah, it would have been someone's nan Someone was playing the spoons in the background.
Mrs. Mills. Do you remember Mrs. Mills? The lady pianist from the 60s. She'll have been there, probably.
She was there, yeah.
Good stuff. There's not really much going on in football this weekend. Spurs lost at home. We just saw that, yeah. Manchester United beat them, but basically it was David De Gea that kept them in it.
Did you watch the coverage just after the game, just before we started recording this? They'd been going on about... It was a wonderful goal by Manchester United. Although everyone's talking about David De Gea, it was an amazing goal because the pass from Pogba was exquisite. And Rashford, who I've always been... Since he first burst onto the scene, I was never fully convinced because he didn't seem to hold one particular position and he blew hot and cold. But in the last couple of weeks since Solskjaer came in, I've started to think maybe he is potentially a brilliant player. And the way he took that pass and scored was great. Anyway, that's boring football stuff. What I want to talk about is they're all chatting about it. Robbie Keane's just talking like you can't make any sense of what the bloody hell he's saying. He's just there and he's going on. He's going on and on and on. He's going, I've got some goats for sale if you want them now, Dave Jones. And Souness is furious about something or other, of course, as usual.
Personal stuff.
And then suddenly they go, Paul Pogba is now with Jamie Redknapp. And they cut to Paul Pogba. The poor fucker's just come off the pitch. And Jamie Redknapp is stood there with one of those ludicrous screens and a controller and all graphics on the screen. And he's showing him the pass that he made for the goal. And he's playing it, then he's rewinding it, then he's playing it in slow motion and fiddling about. Pogba stood there looking like, how old is Pogba? He's probably about like 23 or something. He stood there with all this, you know, who knows what's racing through his mind after a game like that.
The adrenaline's
still pumping.
Just
he's just come off pitch. And Redknapp's like, what did you think of this? Tell us what happened. What was it like? What were you thinking? Why did you make the pass like that? Why was it so good?
Yeah.
Why was the finish so good? Tell us. And I thought, leave him alone, fuck's sake. But then I thought, immediate reviews of your own work. Interesting. So what I want to ask the Cunters, our loyal listeners, because as I've already intimated, we are expanding the franchise this year significantly.
Yeah.
Would you be interested in Andy and I doing a listen back to this podcast, which we record probably like later tonight, in the middle of the night, or tomorrow morning? We will listen back to our own podcast and both comment, like director's cut style, on the podcast.
Once the adrenaline has subsided, the adrenaline that's currently coursing through our veins, once that's subsided...
Like Big Brother's Little Brother, The Apprentice, You're Fired, Great British Bake Off, Bake Off, Bonus Bake Off. They've all
extra
got...
Extra layer.
They've all got... They got loads, haven't they? Every show's got its own spin-off show.
Yeah. What we could do, a slight alternative to that idea, we could get these people that are submitting things for us to read out that we don't read because they're shit. They could do their own podcasts, submit them, and we'll review their podcasts.
Oh, we review podcasts live.
Submitted by failed Top Flight Time Machine content submitters.
The Cunters cast. Cunters cast, that's what we'll call it.
Sub-cunters.
People these are people who you wouldn't even allow to be cunters.
No, they're sub-cunters, exactly. Mm. Yeah. The lower level. Non-league cunters.
If you qualify as an actual cunter, we can send you a badge if you want it, but we'll want paying.
Right, because
I'd have to get my wife to make it on the badge machine.
Yeah.
I will sell them badges for, what do you think is fair, £5?
And plus it just postage. Says,
and it says, I am a cunt on it. Or I am a cunter, but if you want cunter, you've got to pay £7 because it's two extra letters.
Extra letters, isn't it? Yeah, of course. Right.
But get in touch via the usual avenues if you're interested in that offer.
Yeah, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
That's enough about football, I think. Don't know about you, Sam.
Yeah, but
I'm going to read out some bullshits that we've had submitted over the last few days. This is one from Adam Cousins. He says, my mate Jim came out with a classic bullshit that he refuses to admit is nonsense. Many years ago, while living in Scotland, he went away for a while after the police found him distributing iron filings, he says, for financial reward. I think we all know what we're talking about there.
We know what he's on about,
Whilst away, his cat got so depressed by his absence, probably thinking he'd gone away forever, that he decided to end it all by jumping out of a window of a flat high enough to kill him. So the cat has committed suicide in this story.
The cat committed suicide because his coke dealer owner got nicked.
Got jailed and banged up, yeah.
This is really sad.
I'm not sure how existentially aware your everyday moggy is, but I'm pretty sure they don't run around topping themselves. So that's
quite a lot of cats. A lot of cats do just drop dead when their owners die, but it's not usually suicide. It's just like they've got an off button that they can activate mentally.
Yeah, they do. Another animal-related one, slightly less grim, from Dancy Francie on Twitter. She says, we took our cat to the vet around Easter last year, and the vet told us earlier that a spaniel had been in and got his stomach pumped after eating a tray of Cadbury's cream eggs. Halfway through the stomach pumping, the owner's boyfriend came in to admit he'd eaten all the cream eggs and blamed the dog.
Wonderful.
That's a absolutely
brilliant.
A bullshit confession
when
in action.
When bullshit backfires, that is.
Yeah, definitely. Have you got any you want to read out there?
I've not got a bullshit, but someone called Quinadine Quidane has written...
As in the
Quinadine Quidane. Oh, yeah, I see. Says, I don't know where this fits in on the stories of old that you tell, but one of our mates has a thing where he can only climax on his knees.
Well, actually, he's got to be on his knees.
He's got to be on his knees.
He doesn't actually...
Oh, well, not all over his knees. I don't mean he'd be like onto his knees. I think he has to be on his knees.
Just check.
Side note. He even has a sock for lonely time with his own face on.
What?
I don't see how the second thing is related to the first thing. He seems to... And then he sent a photo of the socks. I don't know what to make of that.
And what I really don't know is...
I don't know how this has come up in conversation amongst friends. I mean, I'm not shy about confessing things to my mates when it feels appropriate, but if I had an issue... Yeah. Whereby I could only climax on my knees. I can't imagine why I'd be on about it to people.
You'd have to be incredibly drunk in order to share that with anyone.
That would be my own business and nobody else's.
Very much. You certainly wouldn't talk about it in a podcast, but that's what's happened here. That's what's happened here. Is it a bit of bullshit from Adam Murphy? He says, a serial bullshitter I used to work with took his missus to Southend for the day, and apparently whilst walking along the seafront, a guy jumped out and tried to steal her handbag. He fought him off, at one point punching the thief so hard, he says, the cunt got Down syndrome. Adam says, I only realised he was serious when I burst out laughing and he met me with a glare. And worried that I might get a chromosome punched out of my own head, I quickly stopped laughing and nodded along with the rest of the story. I punched him so hard, the cunt got Down syndrome.
The cunt got Down syndrome. Lovely stuff. Different times, of course. Different times. Different times. Yeah.
We'll just say that whenever we read anything out that's slightly dubious, we'll just say
different times. You can also get badges from us, which also you have to pay for, that say different times on them. And it's handy to wear that in case you find yourself out and about and you might be in the company, for instance, of some millennials. And, you know, that can be a real minefield. You don't know
it's
what you might say at any moment. At any moment you could say something, then it backfires. I mean, only the other day my brother and I were... in a work meeting, and a guy was there, and we were chatting to him, and he was a nice guy. We got on very well with him, but after he left, I can't remember how it came up, but we said to our female colleague, who's a millennial, that we thought the man was probably gay.
Right.
And it was because we'd been having a conversation about a particular TV show, and we'd been talking who our favourite ones were, but in the context of who we found most attractive on a TV, on an old TV show.
Yeah.
And when we asked him, he said a male character rather than a female character.
Yeah.
And so after he left, we said, "Oh, that was surprised by that. I didn't know he was gay, but I suppose he did seem a bit gay." And she went like, What do you mean? How can you say that?" And we said, "Well, we're saying that he seemed to suggest that he found a male character on a TV show the most attractive one."
Yeah.
That led us to believe that he was homosexual. Mm. And also, wrongly or rightly, we had identified some characteristics which we had thought might be indicative of him being gay. Although that is probably wrong and prejudiced.
Stereotypical,
exactly. But the main thing we were basing it on was the fact that he said he fancied a bloke.
Yeah.
So we said he must be gay, and she had the right hump about it. So that's just one example of where you can be out and about, going about your business as a normal stray man like you or I, or the many other stray men listening.
And
you're just trying to live your life and be a stray man as best you can. And next thing you know, you said something seemingly innocuous and the people are cross with you. Well, that's when you need to be wearing one of our badges that just say
different times.
Because as soon as they start having a go at you for saying something like Down syndrome or I think he's gay, you just you point to the badge, different times, mate. And they go, "All right, fair enough."
Yeah. I mean, it's not carte blanche for you to say anything about anybody, but it gives you a bit of an out, doesn't it?
No, of course not.
You know.
I mean, you know, we should all endeavour at all times to not be prejudiced or hurtful or triggery in any way. But what I'm saying is men like us can sometimes make unintentional errors.
Yeah. It's having grown up in different times is in itself a kind of an emotional, let's say, disability, I think.
It is. So they should feel bad for us.
Yeah.
In a way, we're mentally disabled.
Yeah.
And morally, to some extent.
Very much so, yeah.
Because we are, like everyone really, the product of our environment.
That's all
and
we are.
We're
just
and
going
so,
around being the best we can.
If the snowflakes are listening, just remember, I don't regard you as a snowflake.
No.
I think that's a hateful Piers Morgan term. I think that you're trying to change the world for the better, and I apologise if I am not playing enough of a role in that, but I am mentally disabled.
But we're trying to be better people.
We're trying.
It's taking a while to get there.
And in the meantime, we've got our different times badges, which is like having one of those blue disabled stickers in your car. The other thing is, I think, but I'm not sure, that if you have a Top Flight Time Machine different times badge, you can park wherever the fuck you want in most major UK cities, which is another thing that makes it worth the money.
Definitely. And as well, also, if you do encounter one of these millennials and have a different times type encounter, but you feel as though you're absolutely in the right and they're in the wrong, you can then get at one of the I'm a cunt badges and give it to them. And say, there you are.
They can't have an I'm a cunt badge. Not unless they're one of our listeners.
Can they not just be given a badge and
probably
wouldn't wear it?
I don't think that's fair. No, they'd think it was horrible.
Yeah.
And they'd be right. That's the one thing about millennials. They're almost always right.
Yeah, completely.
And people should remember that. They're just right because they're working harder than we ever did to make a difference. I think there was a generation in the 60s, our parents' generation, worked hard to make a difference. Then you've got this generation, the millennials, they're working so hard to make a difference. They're trying to take huge leaps in the way that we behave towards each other, and they're setting the goal super high in the knowledge that even if they don't quite hit it, they will still make a lot of progress. In between those two generations, Andy, there was our generation, and what did we do? Fuck all.
Well, we were Thatcher's children, weren't we? We just went around with Filofaxes
I was taking
massive
drugs.
Mobile phones, drinking hooch,
I was drinking hooch. I was doing the iron
stealing
filings.
Cars.
I was smoking the weed. It was almost exactly like, if you imagine American Psycho, but with train spotting. That was what it was like for all of us, wasn't it?
Yeah, and if anything, we've been let down by the environment we grew up in. It's not our fault.
Yeah, but we made no positive contribution to the onward march of civilization.
The good thing is that our generation is now raising the generation that will follow on from the millennials. I think my daughter refers to herself as Gen Z.
Does she?
Yeah, Generation Z or Z, whatever you want to say.
I mean, I don't know about your daughter, but mine's like turbo politically correct.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm shitting myself that she's next door. She's going to hear any of this. I mean, like, I just have to yawn in the morning and she says that's racist.
Well, exactly.
And then I go, no, it's not. And then 5 minutes later, she's talked me round to her point of view. And I'm like, oh, fuck, maybe it is.
Changing all your behaviour. I mean, you look at the millennials now, if you think these are an oppressive group of people, wait till you see the next lot that we're raising.
I know, they're worse. They're worse, trust me, because, Andy and I are both living with members of this generation and it's not fucking easy. They don't miss a trick. I mean, she does not miss an opportunity to point out that I am a bit of a cunt.
Yeah.
Throughout every day. And she always turns out to be right. It was so much easier when you were just, like, surrounded by other cunts who didn't notice. Because some of them were even bigger cunts than you.
Because you'd just all be cunting about together, but now you've got judge and jury.
It was normalised.
Yeah.
Normalised cuntery. Not no more.
Do you remember in the last episode, I think it might have been the last episode, where we talked about the man who'd been accused of opening a Japanese restaurant in his house?
Yes.
And I think it was in Norfolk. There's been a development.
I've noticed, since you unearthed this story, I've noticed it's been getting national coverage.
Has it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the background was that it was a fella, he's got a house, and he put a big sign above the front door which said Orlando's, and then there was a couple of telephone numbers, a website address for Sakura, which was the name of the Japanese restaurant he was accused of opening. But of course he said, it's not a Japanese restaurant, I just like having the sign. I used to own a Japanese restaurant, not anymore, I've just got the sign above my house.
Yeah, like some people have names for their houses because it's quite posh, isn't it? Like Myrtle Cottage or the Pine Inns or something like that.
Yeah, and I think he was just trying to remember the times when he did own a Japanese restaurant, even though a neighbour was invited along to the launch party of the Japanese restaurant in his house, which isn't actually a Japanese restaurant. But that's not really relevant. I mean, the headline on the original story that we had on Friday was, I haven't turned my house into a Japanese restaurant, Norwich man claims. The latest headline I'm looking at from yesterday is, council finds bar and seating for 24 people on visit to disputed Japanese restaurant. Which, it seems the story has moved along a little bit.
This is one of the biggest fucking things in this country since that, what's his name, that gorilla escaped from London Zoo and drank all the Ribena.
Yeah. It's bigger, I think. It's bigger. Orlando Williams has categorically denied he's running a restaurant, despite having an illuminated sign, a Facebook page, and even an advertisement on TripAdvisor.
It's interesting. What the authorities have got to work out is, when is a restaurant not a restaurant?
Exactly.
I could have a sign up outside my house. I've got seating for, well, I had 14 people here sat down at Christmas, so I've got at least seating for 14. And, despite the fact I don't drink, there's a cupboard above the fridge with loads of old dusty bottles of spirits in. So is that a bar? Do you know what I mean? I've got food in the fridge.
Yeah.
I've got plates. I've got everything, really, that a restaurant needs. So how long is it? How long is it, if this bloke does get done, how long is it before any of us people, you, me, and anyone else listening who is not a restaurateur but who does own food, chairs, plates and drinks... Yeah. Gets done by the restaurant police coming round demanding fucking business rates and all the rest of it.
Probably, we'll probably start getting grassed up by the millennials.
It'll be all of us.
Even the millennials? Because they all get their stuff delivered, don't they, on mopeds and stuff
Won't, they won't do it. But the likes of us, I mean, I've been thinking of getting a fucking neon sign hung up. Because at Christmas, as we probably discussed, I have a huge amount of... neon lights outside my house, an obnoxious amount, and now they've gone and I miss them, so I've been thinking either Delaney's or Sam's Joint, massive 6 foot letters in flashing neon hung out front, Sam's Joint, right? But not because I'm a restaurant or a bar or a disco, just because I want people to know this is where I live. Deal with it.
Well, are you going to invite them in to have food and then charge them for it? Because that's a fucking restaurant, aren't it?
Who knows? I don't know. I mean, anything can happen in life.
Well, this is it. I'm not sure which committee it is. It's the planning committee, because there's been an application to use it as a bed and breakfast. But the committee was told, while there was evidence that the home has been marketed as a restaurant, the council has yet to discover the venue being physically used as one. So what he's got it set up as a restaurant, and he's tantalising people with the idea of it being a restaurant, but as yet he hasn't opened the door for business. One of the officers on the committee said, it is only once people turn up and use it as a restaurant that we can safely say it is one. And thus far, we have seen no evidence that anyone has used it.
So they're watching it really closely.
It's a pretend restaurant.
Our police force, we continue to tell, are underfunded and overstretched. And yet at the moment, Norfolk Police have got a fucking one of those vans that you see in films with all surveillance stuff inside of it. Watching and listening to this bloke's house at all times to spot someone fucking eating. If someone sits down and starts eating, does that make it a restaurant? Could just be someone having their fucking tea.
Depends who it is. Is it one of his mates? Is it his family, or is it some stranger that's
the police, TripAdvisor? Suddenly all the police have fucking smashed through, jumped through the window, come through the ceiling like in Minority Report with Tom Cruise. Mm. And they're going, there's a fucking restaurant, it's a raid. You're a restaurant. And the bloke goes, whoa, 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 I'm just having a bit of dinner. What are you eating? Sushi. That's not fucking dinner food. That's not dinner food, that's restaurant food, you lying cunt. Well, maybe round your house. What do you have on a Tuesday? Fucking bird's eye potato waffles and sausages, is it? Don't cheat me, sonny. Oh, well, look, all I'm saying is this is pretty standard fare. Well, hang on a minute. Who are you anyway? You don't live here. Yeah, I'm his mate. Prove it. How can you prove it?
We're mates. Question them. Old them about
photos.
Their lives.
I want to see old photos of you together. Yeah. Where? How far back? Back to the 80s. Fuck off. I didn't know him then. Well, you're not mates. Oh, so I'm only mates with people who I've known for fucking 30 years plus.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Hell. This is completely arbitrary by the Norfolk Police. What does and doesn't constitute a restaurant or a mate? Or an appropriate Tuesday night dinner.
We need to get over there and do a special episode live from inside that house.
Where TF Time Machine investigates.
But it's not a restaurant. We're just going around there as mates. We need to get in touch with them on Facebook and
because
befriend
you can
him.
Become mate like that. You can become mates like that.
It's like when you meet someone and you just feel like you've known them forever.
It clicks.
Like that.
Clicks.
Yeah.
And I've got people who I've been closer to after just 1 hour's chatting on the train. Than people who I've bloody known since my school days.
You just connect, don't you? It automatically.
Just spiritually.
And you find yourself going off for a meal, and it doesn't even feel like you're having a meal in the restaurant. It just feels like you're just chilling out together and just having something to eat. It might be sushi, it might not be.
The other night I was talking to my mate Dan about, well, there was a group of us, and saying, he's just had a kid, so he's doing a lot of falling asleep on the train.
Of course,
When you first have a kid, whenever you're out, away from the kid, you just fall asleep. And so we're all recounting stories. Oh, what's the worst you've fallen asleep on a train? You know, the furthest you found yourself from home. And my story was like, shit, really. I was just like, oh, yeah, it was after I had my second kid and it was my first night out. I had a couple of drinks and I was on the train and I woke up and I was in fucking Feltham. No battery in my phone, no money.
Jesus.
No Uber, nothing like that. I had to walk around, find an old-fashioned minicab company, get them to drive me home, then bang on the door, get my wife up to pay them. Not a bad story, right? Not a bad story.
Different times.
My mate Dan said that when he was younger, after a West Ham game, he'd got paralytic in East London. But at the time, for various reasons, I think he was still a student, he lived down in Winchester, which is down in, I don't know, fucking Hampshire or something, miles away. So he got a train heading down there and he fell asleep and ended up in completely the wrong place. Woke up, he said he didn't even own a mobile phone. It was that long ago. It was in the 90s. And he had no cash. So he just stayed on the train because it got to the last stop, waited for a couple of hours, and it went back again to Waterloo. Yeah. He got to Waterloo And he thought, now I wonder how I'm going to get home from here. And he went round and he said, it's so amazing how quickly you can find yourself going from being a sort of reasonably respectable human to being a beggar. He said, because I was pissed,
straight man,
scruffy. I had food all down me because I'd just been out on the piss all day. And I was walking around Waterloo begging for money to either make a phone call or possibly get a train. And he couldn't get any. And he went up to some bloke who was had army fatigues on. He seemed to be a soldier. And so Dan sort of thought to himself, he's a soldier. I mean, you got to trust a soldier, right? He thought wrongly. He sat down, he got talking to him about football. They bonded a bit, like you say, bit of a connection. This is about 3 a.m. I don't know what the bloke was doing hanging around Waterloo Station. Dan went, mate, I've got to ask you. I'm miles from home. I've got no dough, nothing. I just need enough money to just, like, literally call home. Have you got any money you can lend me? And the soldier said, no, I haven't. And then he shifted closer to him. He goes, but I've got a nice bottle of wine at home if you fancy coming back with me. And Dan went, no, thank you. And he got out and just walked to the other side of the station and went to sleep on a bench.
Because it was a better alternative.
A bench out of view. Then he woke up in the morning, bunked the train, got thrown off the train, and then eventually got someone to call someone, reverse charges, got him to drive 2 hours. But it was a lucky escape. But what I'm talking about is that is a case of an instant bonding. Mm. Him and that soldier bonded. He thought things were going well. He asked him for fucking 20p for the phone. Next thing he knows, he's got his arm around him, asking him at home to his fucking God knows where this bloke lived.
For a Japanese restaurant bumming.
Well, precisely. Well, I've got a lovely bit of sushi and some sake at home in my bumming restaurant.
It's not a restaurant. It's tied together many strands from this podcast, that story, because what we've got there is someone who's been forced into becoming a stray man overnight because he has wrongly or correctly identified someone as a homosexual who might not be.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So there we are.
Different times. Once again.
And I think we should leave it at that. And we'll be back in a couple of days with some more Kevin Keegan Odyssey. And back again on Friday with an update from stray men and possible homosexuals everywhere while we try and pimp out some more badges. It's been a joy. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, keep your eyes open and remember, stay cunty.
Stay cunty. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.